Dominic Joe Butt, Fillmore Street. This is FieldButt.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 4th of February, 2016. Sorry, we will upload a bit late this week. On this date, in 1826, The Last of the Mohicans is published. 1899, the Philippine-American War begins with the Battle of Manila. By the way, read Mark Twain on this war, some of the greatest anti-war writing ever written. 1945, the depressing Yalta Conference shows how the Cold War is going to end up. 1969, the Palestine Liberation Organization is founded with Abu Ammar at the helm. 1974, Patty Hearst is kidnapped in Berkeley, California. 1983, Karen Carpenter dies of anorexia. 1992, a coup d'etat is led by Hugo Chavez against Venezuelan President Carlos Andres Perez. 2004, Facebook is founded. Birthdays are composer Johann Bach, public transport aficionado Rosa Parks, and feminist writer Betty Friedan. Today is the precise middle of winter. And for those of our listeners in the Southern Hemisphere, a hearty shout out to you. It's the middle of summer. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tbeelpod.com or send us an email at tbeelpod@gmail.com. Wanted to mention that Radarami, the civic program masquerading as a publisher, is looking for an international volunteer to start fairly soon. Small stipend is part of the deal. Should be a native English speaker who writes well and easily, interested in community building in Georgia, new models of civic change, loves books and understands and has experience with how reading them can be a catalyst for change. Experience with proposal writing, a plus, as is interest in social enterprise. If you know anybody who may be interested, tell them to write april@radarami.org. That's April, like the month, at Romeo Alpha Delta, Alpha Romeo Alpha, Mike India, radarami.org. Or you can just write to the Beelpod address and we'll clue you in. On the 29th of January, the Ministry of Defense suspended six employees after the Office of the UN High Commissioner on Human Rights said that there are, quote, allegations of sexual exploitation, abuse of minors in the Central African Republic by members of foreign military forces, end quote, among them military personnel from Georgia and France. The UN High Commissioner explained that, quote, these are extremely serious accusations and it is crucial that these cases are thoroughly and urgently investigated, end quote. According to the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, the alleged crimes took place in 2014, but only came to light in recent weeks. A UN team spoke with four girls who said they were either raped or were forced into sexual relationships with soldiers within the EU mission. The report continues that while the nationalities of some of the soldiers remains unclear, three of the girls said that they believe their abusers were members of the Georgian EU4 contingent. The cases took place in or near a camp for displaced persons near Bangui in Central African Republic. UN statement says that the High Commissioner raised the case last week with the European, Georgian, and French authorities, as well as with another country, and that all four authorities promptly responded that they already have begun investigating or referred the cases to relevant judicial authorities in their countries. As a reminder, Georgia joined the EU military mission in the Central African Republic in June 2014, sending over 150 soldiers, which went down to 85. And since March 2015, there are only five officers to the mission. So the Ministry of Defense said that the state said in a statement that it will investigate the allegations in great detail, that every individual who is under a direct obligation to investigate the facts about what happened back in 2014 will be suspended from their professional duties pending the investigation. Among the six people who are suspended is a deputy chief of the general staff who is in charge of overseeing Georgian troops and international missions. The defense ministry continued that they are working to specify the truth about the charges, which means either dismissing or punishing the offenders, that they will not let anybody damage the reputation of our military. On the 4th of February, the defense ministry announced that they are preparing to send a team of military police to the CAR to investigate, and they are also requesting information from the UN in Geneva about testimonies and that type of information. On the 2nd of February, the Director General of Maestro TV, Baya Gadabadze, announced her resignation. She said She refused to work for the channel under the renewed combination of shareholders, and that a logical continuation of events would be the channel losing its editorial independence, and that it was a political move. Earlier in the day, the National Public Registry announced that 55% of Maestro shares now belong to one of the channel's founders, Gia Gacicciladze. Gacicciladze, for those who don't know, is a pop star, otherwise known as Utsunobi, whose brother has been very active in politics and Memar Shirinebi and others. And also, he has been a bit of a political activist, did some anti-government stuff in 2009. Other Maestro shareholders are founder and co-founders of the channel, Bombshell Maka Asatiani with 25% of the shares, Mamuka Glonti with 15%, and the Katarina Akobia with 5% of the shares in the TV company. Back in September 2015, Maka Asatiani, who now holds 25% of the shares, had requested that the company file for bankruptcy because Maestro owed her a huge amount of money that it couldn't pay. So now Gacicciladze has bought many of the shares and says he plans to revive Maestro TV. So it's unclear now what's happening. Shareholders are scheduled to meet. Also, the guy who is the director of Imedi, Irakli Rukhadze, who is Badri Patakatsvili's money guy, now works for Patakatsvili's wife and daughter. He was the one who lent, with air quotes, the money to buy the majority stake in the channel to Utsunobi. Following up on gas talks, on the 29th of January, Azerbaijani state energy company Socar announced that they will increase gas supplies to Georgia during the peak winter period by at least 50 million cubic meters. They said they negotiated the increase with the South Caucasus pipeline company. As a reminder, Georgia receives gas from two sources in Azerbaijan, one directly from Socar and another one from BP-operated South Caucasus pipeline, which transport gas from the Shah Deniz offshore field in the Caspian Sea to Turkey via Georgia. Gas supplies from these sources accounted for 88.5% of Georgia's total gas needs in 2015. Earlier in January, the president of Socar visited Tbilisi to discuss the possible increase of gas supplies from Azerbaijan, and Socar leadership said that at the time that they would try to increase supplies through the South Caucasus line. Energy Ministry said that now during winter, Georgia's daily gas consumption is more than 11 cubic meters, that gas supply from the South Caucasus pipeline has increased from 3 million to 3.2 million cubic meters per day. Gas supply directly from Socar is about 6.5 million cubic meters a day, and they fill the remaining gap with about 2 million cubic meters of Russian gas per day that they take from the Gazprom pipeline that transports gas from Russia to Armenia. Then, on the 4th of February, Energy Minister Kaladze held talks with Socar in Baku. They discussed the implementation of the second phase of the Shah Deniz project, as well as problems related to the transportation of Azerbaijani gas to Georgia. The International Criminal Court approved an investigation into possible war crimes in the August 2008 war. As discussed last week and before, Russia's foreign ministry said that it was disappointed by the ICC's decision to approve the investigation. They said they've given the ICC tons of information confirming that the Misha regime committed war crimes against the population of South Ossetia and the Russian peacekeeping forces, and that they are shocked that the ICC prosecutor is launching an investigation also against the South Ossetian and Russian forces. Oh, ho, ho! They said this move doesn't meet the ideals of justice, uproarious, and that in light of the ICC move, Russia will have to consider the issue of its relations with the ICC. To remind everybody, Georgia is a state party to their own statute through which the ICC was established and therefore cooperates with the ICC, which it said it would do. Russia is not a party, like the United States, is not a party to the Rome Statute, doesn't have to cooperate and doesn't really care, and it's just posturing anyway. Following up on elections in Gardabani, for Gardabani Gamgabeli, the municipality head, that was on the 28th of January. Georgian Dream Coalition's candidate Gocha Jamarauli won. He got 16,000 votes. National Movement candidate got a bit under 7,000. So to divide into thirds, 33% of the registered voters turned out at the polling station, according to the Central Election Commission, which is fairly low if the voter registration rates are accurate. There were confrontations between National Movement Georgian Dream supporters outside the polling station. People were throwing stones. Someone allegedly had a gun. Throughout the day, the National Movement was accusing the Georgian Dream of mobilizing supporters outside some of the polling stations as a form of intimidation, especially at polling stations where the UNM did well in 2000. 2014 elections. Gila and ISFED, which monitor the elections, said the confrontation of the polling stations did not affect the polling process and that overall it was calm during the voting. The monitoring groups did report some cases of procedural irregularities. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili commented on the elections in Gardabani. He said that even though people might cause provocations, they, the Georgian Dream Otsneba Coalition, have to show that they're bigger than that, that Georgia is a European country and will hold fair elections in October 2016. He also asked the Justice Minister to review legislation and to make stricter penalties for physical insults. Following up on previous week's stories, the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia Party, which is the largest party in the ruling Georgian Dream Coalition, named Prime Minister Kvitikashvili as its chairman. He will be confirmed with the party congress scheduled this spring. Previously, Prime Minister Khadabashvili was the chair of the party, but he quit its chairmanship when he stepped down as prime minister in December. President Margvelashvili visited the Pankisi Gorge on the 30th of January, accompanied by the U.S. and EU ambassadors to Georgia. They met with locals in the village of Duisi. Visit came a few days after Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov claimed at a press conference that Daesh, or Islamic State militants, are training in the Pankisi Gorge and taking their R&R there, which, as we mentioned, is complete BS. President Margvelashvili made a point to say that he came with the EU and U.S. ambassadors and they can see for themselves what the situation is. There were also quips that Lavrov can come and see, too, anytime he wants. U.S. Ambassador Ian Kelly also pointed out that both the prime minister and presidents have said that there are no training centers for terrorists in the Pankisi Gorge and that he takes their word at face value. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli paid a two-day official visit to Armenia and met with the Armenian leadership. Georgian-Armenian defense ministries also signed a bilateral annual defense cooperation program envisaging exchanges in experienced peacekeeping operations, military education, training, and strategic planning. President Margvelashvili hosted a National Security Council meeting the 29th of January. They discussed Georgia's participation in the NATO summit in Warsaw in July, Georgian troops and international peacekeeping missions. Most important aspect of that was that Kvitikashvili attended. United States Defense Threat Reduction Agency is providing the Interior Ministry with $10 million to modernize state border protection. They're going to build borders at the Kasumlo and Kedi villages. They're also going to modernize the border with Armenia with modernized surveillance equipment. President Obama congratulated Kvitikashvili on becoming prime minister, invited him to the Nuclear Security Summit, which will be in Washington the last day of March. There were reports last week that Azerbaijan was seeing a $4 billion bailout from the IMF and World Bank because of falling oil prices. Azerbaijan denies the requested aid, but there are still reports that a delegation from the World Bank and IMF is arriving Baku this week. U.S. government is investing $14 million to train and support professional development of public school teachers across Georgia throughout the Millennium through the Millennium Challenge Corporation. The project launched in January 2016 and will run until the summer of 2019. The government has approved a package of legislative changes proposed by Justice Minister Tsulukiani regarding minors. Taking minors out of the country, according to the proposed changes, when parents apply for a foreign passport for their child, presumably one of the parents is a foreigner, they will have to sign a form saying they acknowledge that with the passport, one of the parents can take the child abroad without the consent of the other parent. The amendments also provide that if one parent withdraws their consent for the child's foreign passport, the passport will be canceled. The idea is that people who get divorced are then aware that the passport can be used and also that it can be canceled. 17-year-old model Tiko Natsvilishvili is the new face of the Armani Collezioni Spring-Summer Collection. Film Tangerines by director Zaza Urushadze won Best European Film at the annual Gaudi Awards in Barcelona. New 20 and 50 lari banknotes were released into circulation this week. The colors are brighter and there are updated designs. The National Bank says they will have security measures to protect them from forgery. Some conservative organizations in Georgia say that they are taking to talking to parliamentarians to get their support for a bill that would guarantee in the Constitution that a marriage can only be between a man and a woman, effectively to preemptively prevent gay rights activists from getting same-sex marriage in Georgia. Currently, the relevant article in the Constitution says that this marriage is based on the free will of two spouses, but doesn't specify a man and a woman. There's also a lawsuit in the Constitutional Court that was launched by a transgender man. He says that a passage in the civil code is unconstitutional because the civil code defines a marriage as a union of a man and a woman. Flu virus is still raging in Georgia. According to the health ministry, the infection rate is now 350 cases per 100,000, which is still not an epidemic, but is at least 500 cases per 100, which is 500 cases per 100,000 people. 9 people have died this year from the flu. Azerbaijan has reported temporary bans on imports of cattle from Georgia because of viruses spreading among cattle, according to Azerbaijan's Veterinary Control Service. Tbilisi City Hall said that they will raise the salary of kindergarten staff in the city by 5 to 20% starting later this year. They're putting in 3.6 million lari. This will raise the average income of kindergarten employees in Tbilisi to 300 lari a month, which is still not a ton. Ministry of Environment signed a cooperation agreement with Sweden's radiation regulatory body, which will allocate 35,000 euros to Georgia to adopt a 15-year action plan for radioactive waste management. French dairy production company Lactalis Group purchased shares in the Georgian dairy firm Sante. The details of the partnership are confidential. The company is understood to be interested in collaborating with Sante's Santino cheese and Mazzoni products. Public Registry and Public Service Development Agency are working together to give addresses to every single house all over the country. Moldova is interested in Georgia's anti-hail system that was built by the State Military Scientific Research Center, Delta. Designed to save crops from hail, a delegation from Delta will go to Moldova in February to implement the first stage of the anti-hail system there. Rustavelli's Night in the Tiger Skin has a new Arabic translation. It was presented at the 47th Annual Book Festival in Cairo. The translation was sponsored by the Georgian Embassy in Egypt. There's an earlier Arabic version from 1984 that was published in Syria. Norwegian consortium Green Seafood signed a memorandum of cooperation with the Ministry of Agriculture to farm Norwegian salmon in the Kobuleti area of Ajada. Tbilisi City Hall will finance treatment for early-stage breast cancer. They're covering the cost for the drug Herceptin. The Ministry of Health said that it will finance a treatment for patients with early-stage breast cancer in the regions. The company Alta OK became an authorized reseller of Apple products in Georgia, while Geocell is the only mobile operator that can offer iPhone 6s and iPhone 6 Plus packages. Flights through Kutaisi Airport will be increasing starting in May. Ukraine International Airlines will add 4 flights a week to the Kutaisi-Kiev route, and from June they will fly every day starting in late February. Ural Airlines will fly Kutaisi-Moscow twice a week and will go to 3 times a week in the summer. Also, Hungarian budget airline Wizz Air announced that it will open a base at Kutaisi Airport later this year. Georgia hosted the 5th Bulgarian-Georgian Intergovernmental Commission. The two countries' railway companies signed a memorandum of cooperation, and they are talking about having direct flights between Georgia and Bulgaria. A film crew from South Korea's public broadcasters in Georgia, and they're filming a tourism documentary on Georgia that will come out later this year. It's reported that Chinese investors are going to build a ferroalloy plant in the Kutaisi Free Industrial Zone. Tbilisi City Hall said there will be a large-scale reconstruction of the Tbilisi Metro later this year. 2 Georgian women and a young man were found murdered in their apartment in the city of Düzce, Turkey. The 2 women were sisters, and the boy was a grandson. They were from Marneuli and had come to Turkey looking for work. The circumstances of their death are unknown. Germany-based author Nino Kharatashvili will present her book, The Eighth Life, for Brilka at the 66th Berlinale Film Festival in February to pitch the producers to get the book turned into a film. Baritone art Otar Nakashidze was awarded one of the top prizes at the International Opera Singing Contest in Italy. French writer and literary critic Frédéric Bagbader will visit Tbilisi this year, at least, as it was announced by actress and TV host Olga Bablauri on her Babluani on her Facebook page. wrestler Georgi Papunashvili won gold at the 81-kilo category at the 2016 European Judo Open Championship in Sofia, Bulgaria. Two other Georgian athletes got silver and bronze in their weight categories. Researchers from the University of Warsaw are working with the Georgian National Museum in conserving the Zalisa Castle Complex, 60 kilometers from Tbilisi. The Bioli Wellness Resort Complex opened in Kojori, which is just a quick 20-odd minute drive from Tbilisi. If anybody goes there and checks it out, please report back to us and let us know how it is. Ballerina Maya Machatelli will perform the lead in Matahari for the Dutch National Ballet. Parliamentary news. On the 2nd of February, the Parliamentary Committee for Human Rights backed a bill which proposes to make it an administrative offense to insult religious feelings. The bill was proposed by Georgian Dream Otsneva Coalition lawmaker Soso Gishviani. Of course, the proposed punishment for insulting religious feelings is a 300 lari fine and 600 lari for a repeated offense. It also proposes a fine of 500 lari for the desecration of religious buildings and a 1,000 lari fine for a repeated offense. Chairperson of the Human Rights Committee, Georgian Dream lawmaker Debilka Eka Beselia, who supports the initiative of the bill, of course, said there should be a balance between freedom of expression and protection of religious feelings. As a note, January 2015, the Georgian Orthodox Church called on the authorities to provide for the protection of the rights of believers against insulting their religious feelings, although that clearly contradicts the Constitution. The draft bill has not yet reached the hearing stage in Parliament, but it's going through committee discussions. People are already opposed to it, of course. Public defender Uchen Anuashvili issued a lengthy statement arguing that the bill uniquely contradicts the principle of freedom of expression and called on Parliament to reject the bill. People from the Republican Party are against it, as are every single NGO that's normal, like the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, ISFED, Eden Toba, Article 42 of the Constitution, and more. President Margvelashvili gave his annual State of the Nation address to Parliament on the 3rd of February. It was his third State of the Nation address. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili attended. Unlike his predecessor, Irakli Kharibashvili, who'd get all cranky and snub President Margvelashvili's two previous annual addresses. The speech was about an hour long. Margvelashvili said that that 2016 will mark the 25th anniversary of Georgia's independence, but that Georgia still has to travel the road from independence to freedom. He talked about the political and economic difficulties of 2015, said that 2016 would be difficult economically too, and Georgia should use all its advantages in terms of location with China, the U.S., really utilizing the DCFTA with the EU, also Iran. He talked about reforms, especially in the judicial system, and about strengthening institutions. For those who are interested in the judiciary, several NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, put out advice that judges be randomly assigned to cases rather than the current system that allows politicians to put politically sensitive or lucrative cases to a friendly or compliant judge. The justice minister was extremely hostile to the idea of randomly assigning judges to cases, unfortunately. Anyway, the parliamentarian dum-dum Gogi Topadze commented that President Margvelashvili's speech compared the Georgian people to people with Down syndrome, and he used a pretty insulting term in Georgia for it. No one else has any idea what he was talking about. Next day, on the 4th of February, civil society groups and the justice minister condemned his language and how unethical it was for a parliamentarian to use disabled people to mean someone stupid, and it was disrespectful to human rights. There is a gif of Margvelashvili and Usupashvili sitting in Parliament while Topadze is talking about the Down syndrome issue, and they look at each other like, what? Which was our sort of demi-meme of the week. But you should check out that gif because it's hysterically funny. The other meme this week is about opening night of the Opera House on Rustavelli. It was an exclusive invitation-only event, and there was this red carpet and a lot of women showing up wearing fur coats, even though it was quite warm outside. Animal activists were annoyed, and people were talking about how Soviet and Russian style. It wasn't really was. If you look at all the pictures, it's just hysterically, I don't know, Soviet. The wives of the nomenklatura showing up with their furs. Anyway, people were sharing and posting about the fur coats, and you can see some of them here. Then someone posted a photo of their own, which was a procession of sort of pagans, like this sort of Canoba thing, in animal fur costumes that is uproarious. All of the animal rights activists after the protest, of course, went down to the dive bar to have a beer. Stuff to read. New CODA story project on underreported topics in the former Soviet Union features a short documentary on a transgender woman in Georgia, Bianca. They show both urban and rural life in Georgia. It's really important work. Not that the challenges transgender people face are particularly unique to Georgia, but it's one aspect of Georgian society that is rarely covered. The CODA story reports on Twitter that Bianca was found dead in her Tbilisi flat just this week. CODA was started by the famous and awesome BBC news journalist Natalia Antalava. Activist Armine Sakhyan in the Kiev Post says it's crazy that Georgia's having talks with Gazprom to bring in more Russian gas. She says that Georgians and Armenians both know well and from experience that Russia uses gas and electricity to get smaller countries to submit to its will. She also notes that Russia is eager to supply more gas to Georgia in the Caucasus out of fear that Iran is entering the market. She is, of course, correct. Studio Monitor investigates how common carcinogenic products are used in Georgia, like asbestos, which increases the risk of cancer. They find that asbestos is used to line brake pads in a lot of cars, and when you push on the brake, it emits dust. You breathe in the dust. It's also used in brake pads in public yellow buses in Tbilisi. If you don't know Studio Monitor or Studio Monitori, they're a group of investigative journalists based in Tbilisi. They do in-depth report on political, economic, social, environmental issues. Their reports are aired twice a month on Saturday night on Kavkazia TV. It is by far the best investigative journalism that goes on in Georgia. The link that we're putting up is subtitled in English, and whenever they subtitle them and they give them to us, we will we'll let you know and post a link. Liz Fuller from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Caucus's report covers Gazprom's pressuring Georgia on gas and transit talks. Some of our Tpilpod.com friends believe that having Kaladze as the lead negotiator on Gazprom says it all. BBC's Raihan Dimitriye has a short clip inside the opening night of Tbilisi's Opera House. Lots of pictures. Tablet magazine Dana Kessler writes on all the new Georgian restaurants springing up in Tel Aviv and Israel. Paul Rimple writes in Beacon Reader that Georgians just don't care about Donald Trump, even though he was in Batumi way back when Misha bizarrely somehow pulled him into some idiotic project. Just a note, there's a paywall on that, but it's only $5 a month, and for Rimple, that is well worth the price, so pay it and read it. If you want more from Rimple for Culinary Backstreets, he visits the new Citron Cafe in Vake Park, which serves Georgian food done right with European take on it. The original Citron Cafe is just off Chardenny. He sits down with the cafe's creator and cook, Ramaz Gemiashvili, who used to be an actor at the Marjanashvili Theater in the 90s and started making cakes for an income, then went on to create one of the better-known cafes with Zura Zhvania's wife, the Literaturi Cafes. Reporter from the Canberra Times about how the Georgian-Russian conflict came to Australia. Russia paid off a few Pacific islands to recognize Abkhazia and South Ossetia. After that, Georgia stepped up its diplomatic presence in the Pacific region. George Lomsadze for Eurasianet does another great job of covering the opening of the opera in Tbilisi and the fear and furry over the fur coats, access to goods, and elitism persisting in Georgia. Leonid Razogin of the Moscow Times argues that Misha's role in Ukraine shows how there is an evolving Russian-speaking space. Interesting point of view. The Guardian and AFP give a short report on the ICC approving an investigation of crimes during the August 2008 war. The Trio Mandili Girls have a new video, singing and walking in the snow. It's being shared a lot. And CRC looks into Georgia's perceptions of foreign influence in the country. All this stuff to read is posted in our forum. Dive bar number. This week's dive bar number is 1 million. This is how much the UK-based mining company Noricum Gold has raised in pounds by selling stock in order to expand their mining project in the Bolognese area. If you're in Brooklyn, the Ground Floor Gallery is hosting an exhibition featuring five Georgian artists curated by the Tbilisi-based Center for Contemporary Art. It's running until the 2nd of April. From the 12th to the 23rd of February, there's an exhibition at the Shevardnadze National Gallery in Tbilisi of silk scarves and artist sketches. They're usually in the Macht Gallery in Paris. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is kabilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.kabilpod.com. Don't forget, write april@radarami.org if you know anybody who might be interested in a long-term internship there. We will finish with, from San Francisco, California, 2002, this is Vetiver and You May Be Blue.